I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, let's do an update as to what's happening in the UK with the elections coming up on December 12th. What is the situation as we head towards the final 2 weeks, essentially, a little more than 2 weeks before the polls open and the UK public decides as to who will lead the country through, hopefully, a Brexit, I guess. More negotiations with the EU, who knows? Anyway, Alexander, get it.
Right. I mean, we've still got, as you rightly say, just over 2 weeks before the actual election day. So, I mean, there's still chances that things can happen. But we're now starting to see a pattern in the opinion polls, and it's becoming reasonably stable. So I think we can start to draw some preliminary assessments about the way this is going. Now, I think it's becoming increasingly clear that Nigel Farage's decision to pull Brexit Party candidates from Conservative seats, in other words, not to contest Conservative-held seats, has been the big changer in the big changer of this election. Because what he did, perhaps more than he intended, is that it seems to have signalled to Leave supporting voters across the UK that if they want to see Brexit done, they should support the Conservatives. Now, a point I have consistently made throughout these programmes is that if you break down the votes in the 2016 referendum, not only did Leave win by a very clear margin in England, but Leave also won in the great majority of English parliamentary constituencies which return MPs to the House of Commons. So, with the Leave vote now consolidating behind Boris Johnson and the Conservatives, and with the election increasingly looking like it's going to turn on the subject of Brexit, what you are looking at is a stable Conservative lead of 12%. Across the UK, bigger in England, where because the Scottish the Labour Party really has all but lost its presence in Scotland, but with the Conservatives looking very strong in the seats they need to win in order to win a majority in Parliament. Corbyn, his policy of having a referendum, having a new negotiation for yet another deal which would keep Britain indefinitely in a customs union with the EU, and then which was going to be put to a referendum with himself neutral throughout and not saying what his position is going to be, is not proving popular at all, which never surprised me. And his attempt to somehow sideline the issue of Brexit by focusing instead on this enormously ambitious program of economic and social change and reform, giving everybody free broadband, of bringing the water companies and the railways back into public ownership, that is simply not cutting through, because for most people the subject remains Brexit. So at this moment in time, it looks to me as if we're heading for a stable Conservative majority. I am going to be surprised if that changes.
What about what was going on between Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage, between the Tories and the Brexit Party? Have those issues been resolved? Because there was some and forth between the two.
Well, they've been resolved in the sense that the Brexit Party has essentially collapsed. As I said, what has happened, what Boris Johnson always planned and intended, let's be clear about this, he's proved to be, by the way, a very ruthless politician. What he intended and planned has happened by announcing that he was going to pull his candidates from contesting Conservative seats. The Leave voting electorate, which is the majority electorate in England, has decided that there is no point in supporting the Brexit Party, because it is not posing a challenge to the Conservatives, and therefore they're not supporting it anywhere at all. Its vote has gone to the Conservatives, and the Brexit Party, which stormed the polls at the time of the European election in May is, I think, down to this polling around 3% of the vote.
Was that what Farage wanted, though? Or
no, I don't think so. I don't think it was what he planned or what he wanted at all.
He wanted some sort of cooperation. I think
he thought he was going to get a deal with which the Conservatives were. He would pull a Brexit Party candidates from Conservative seats, and in return, the Conservatives would give him a clear run to fight Labour, leave voting Labour seats. That I think was his intention. He made the fatal mistake of trusting Boris Johnson. Always a mistake. As I said, Johnson has proved a much more ruthless and skilled politician than I think many people realised. And as I said, as things stand, I think things have not worked out at all the way Farage intended. I will be surprised now if we do not get a majority Conservative government on the 12th of December. It will carry out Boris Johnson's deal, and then, of course, it will negotiate some sort of new arrangement with the EU, which it will call Brexit. It will not be, I suspect, the kind of Brexit that Nigel Farage wanted, but it's become absolutely clear to me that Brexit, on those terms, is not on offer at the moment. And the best one can hope for is that what we have just seen, if you want Brexit, the best one can hope for is that we prepare the ground for a more radical Brexit in the future, which is to come.
Okay, now you said that this vote, at least from what you've seen from the data, the polling data, it looks like this is a vote, a referendum on the Brexit deal. Whether you're going to go with Boris's Brexit deal or whether you're going to side with Corbyn and redo the whole thing over and over again. So Corbyn miscalculated by going focusing on social policies that he has and then just kind of saying, look, I'll redo Brexit again. So that was his kind of platform and people didn't like that. They're looking at Brexit only as we go into the polling. And if it wasn't for Nigel Farage's move to pull out, the Brexit candidates, then Boris Johnson wouldn't have had this surge. Because in the beginning, it looked like Labour was gaining some momentum. Absolutely. So Farage was a game changer as well. After the vote is said and done, and if things continue the way this trend is looking, you said it's stabilizing. If they continue along this pattern and you do get a conservative majority, does the Brexit Party come back after this vote is done and continues to put pressure on Boris Johnson so that he doesn't negotiate a return to the EU? And does Labour come back from this as well? Labour a defeated party?
Let's unpack this. Let's first of all deal with Corbyn. I think Corbyn is paying a huge price for his weakness. Corbyn, I've always sensed, has understood that the only way that Labour could really cut through and win was by remaining firm that it was going to implement a form of Brexit. Might not have been a radical Brexit. It might have been a customs union Brexit. But it needed to show to the British voters that it was going to respect the result of the 2016 referendum in some form. What happened over the last year is that Corbyn let himself get pushed by the Remainers within the parliamentary Labour Party and within his cabinet and within the Labour membership into committing Labour to this referendum position. Back in 2017, it was saying it was going to respect the outcome of the Brexit referendum. This time, it was promising this new extraordinary referendum, which, to be very clear, if you propose a referendum to the British people, if you have a referendum to the British people in which they are presented with a choice between a customs union Brexit, which many Brexiters would not accept as any kind of Brexit, and remain, and in which Corbyn himself won't say which he prefers, you are tilting it, you're rigging it in effect in favour of remain. It's very difficult to see how you would get enough pro-Brexit people to come out and vote for a customs union Brexit to defeat a Remain vote. That's how it's seen by most people, I think, in Britain who are going to vote on this issue. Now, as I said, Corbyn let himself be pressured by people like Keir Starmer, his Brexit minister, who's a fervid supporter of the European Union, Emily Thornberry, who is his shadow foreign minister, who's also fervidly pro-European Union, John McDonnell, his shadow chancellor, who said that he will support Remain. They all pushed him into a position he didn't want to go to, but which he weakly accepted, and which is now putting him in an impossible position, because I think he also gambled or hoped that what would happen would be two things. Firstly, that the Remain vote would consolidate behind him. And secondly, that his very radical program would appeal sufficiently strongly to working class Leave voters to win them over to the Labour Party so that they wouldn't be too bothered about what he was doing with Brexit. Well, what has actually happened is that the Remain voters are not consolidating as quickly behind Labour as the Leave voters are consolidating behind the Conservatives. So that since the election was announced, the Conservative vote has increased by about 5 points, whereas the Labour vote has only increased by about 3 points. So it's not, the gap has grown instead of shrinking, despite the fact that Labour's poll rating has increased. And the other thing it's done is that not only do working class Leave voters, not only is for them Brexit more important at this present time than this programme that Corbyn is announcing, but by taking this very cynical position on Brexit, it's making Leave voters very cynical about Corbyn's entire programme. So it's lost him support overall. So it's not looking good for him. So whereas you had a number of clear decisions on the Leave side, you had a number of bad decisions on the Labour side. Now, going forward, after this is all over, I think there is a future for the Brexit Party, because though it will be absolutely obliterated in this election, it's been obliterated before and it's come back. I think that Farage and people like him will always be there, because until that point is finally reached where there is a complete and total severance of links between the European Union and Britain. I think that that push will always continue. And I think that is definitely the trajectory that we are going down. It'll take a much longer time than perhaps it should have done, but I think we will get there in the end. As for the Labour Party, I think that it has re-established itself over the last few weeks as the main opposition party. It is facing a Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, who has trust issues with the British people and who has no other programme but Brexit. He has got no programme to speak of at all. They have a very ambitious programme, the Labour Party does, which appeals to many people. I'm not going to discuss on this program whether it can work or not, or whether it's a good program or not. All I'm saying is it's popular with a lot of people. You can see a possible scenario where, if Brexit is done and out of the way as a major political issue and a cause of division for the Labour Party, and it is able to start moving the national conversation onto other issues, that it might win an election in the future. I read a very interesting article by Tim Stanley in the Daily Telegraph. Tim Stanley is a very clever conservative right-wing commentator, in which he was making that very point. So it's not completely out of the picture for the Labour Party, even if it loses on the 12th of December, as I suspect it will, provided it holds its nerve. But, you know, it might not hold its nerve. There might be mass recrimination within the Labour Party. There might be a Blairite counter coup to sweep out Corbyn and those people. We might be back to triangulation and all those sort of things, which would be a big mistake, by the way, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm sure life for the Brexit Party in the future. I think there's likely to be life in the Labour Party in the future. But it's Boris Johnson's election, so it seems to me. And Labour will have to hold its nerve after the 12th of December. And its past history suggests that it may struggle to do so.
Right.
That's where we are.
Right. And real quickly, as far as Brexit Party is concerned, I imagine we need a strong Brexit Party and a strong Nigel Farage keep Boris Johnson on the straight and narrow as far as Brexit goes, correct?
As far as I'm concerned, that is essential. I mean, the one thing I would say about Farage is that he's unique in British politics in that he remains a powerful voice, even though he's never been elected to Westminster. And even when he doesn't have a party, people still listen to him. So if he is there and he continues and he plugs away at what he's doing and keeps up his presence, he will be there to continue to put pressure on Johnson and on the Conservatives. Now, I say that because he made this disastrous mistake in 2016 of absenting himself from British politics, which allowed Theresa May to do this great slip back into what was essentially a Remain position. And unfortunately, there's talk, I've heard some talk, I don't know whether this is true, that he's rather depressed about the situation at the moment, and is again thinking of quitting British politics. I think if he does that, it would be a huge mistake. I think for his own cause, he needs also, at this time, nerves of steel and willingness to continue fighting going forward. What the Labour Party does is to get over this whole Brexit issue and focus on its internal programme, as I said, which, whether it is a good programme or not, has traction with a lot of people, and press on with it and keep that goal in mind. And what Nigel Farage needs to do is he needs to continue there to keep the pressure on the Conservatives. As for the Conservatives, they're probably going to win. They've got to get Brexit done. They've also then got to think what sort of party they are and what they stand for. At this moment in time, they're making a lot of promises for extra spending, which many people fear is diluting the value of their brand going forward. So there it is.
All right. A lot of battles have been won and lost, Alexander, with the European Union. But I think your basic message is that the Brexit war, has a long way to go still.
The Brexit war has a very long way to go. We're nowhere near that point yet. But make absolutely no mistake, if on the 12th of December, Boris Johnson wins, it will be because he is supporting, or says he supports Brexit. His campaign slogan is "Get Brexit Done," and he has almost nothing else. So it will be the second time in 3 years that the British people have voted for Brexit. And as I said, that should establish a clear trajectory. Right. I'll just add one other thing. Yeah. If Nigel Farage had not done what he did, if he'd kept the Brexit Party fighting in every seat, I think we would still have had the Conservatives winning the largest number of votes and emerging as the biggest party. The Brexit Party might have won some MPs, in which case we might have had a situation where the Conservatives would have been forced to go into coalition with the Brexit Party. And at that point, we might have had an even stronger Brexit, or a real Brexit. But that didn't happen. As I said, Farage trusted Johnson, always a mistake, and he's paying the price. But that doesn't mean that he's lost his political gifts or his political skills, or that the cause of Brexit doesn't need him anymore.
No, he's made a lot of sacrifices to get Brexit done, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm afraid he's going to have to make some more.
Long road ahead.
It's a long road ahead.
All right, Alexander McCurris, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell, smash that like. Check us out on iTunes. and on SoundCloud. To get an audio copy of this video, you'll find a link to those platforms in the description box down below. Also, check out PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please donate to us. Your donation really helps keep this channel up and running. We appreciate all the donations on those platforms. And check us out on BitChute and DuranVideo.com. DuranVideo is our own platform. BitChute is the free speech video platform. We post everything we do, all our videos, on those two platforms. So we invite you to check those platforms out as well. And check us out on Telegram, where we post everything we do, whether it's on the Duran.com, the website, whether it's videos, even discounts to our shop, the Duran Shop, with all our great merchandise and our magic mugs and magic t-shirts. They all go on Telegram, Alexander.
They certainly do. And can I again echo Alex's invitation to go to search us out on our other platforms? We are very excited by those platforms and by the extra strength that they give to us as a channel and as a news commentary and analysis channel and site. And we think they will add greatly to the service and to the quality of service, the already excellent service that they are providing. And we're really excited, actually, by their rate of growth, which has exceeded all our expectations. But as Alex rightly says, you can find all our wonderful products from our shop on Telegram. And here you see one of our famous Durand magic mugs, beautiful porcelain, wonderfully light and beautifully balanced. These mugs don't chip. They keep your tea, in my case it's always tea, warm, or coffee if you prefer, or hot chocolate, or you can try beer with them. They work for all of these wonderful drinks. But as I said, they are marvelous mugs. This one is the mug with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, on it, who is someone of whom I am a great fan, but you can find other great mugs with other emblems on them. So these are great mugs which you can find on our shop. You can also find these fantastic shirts like the one that I'm wearing, like the one Alex is at the moment wearing. This is a long-sleeved t-shirt. You have it's 100% cotton. It's enormously comfortable. It keeps me warm during these cold November days and nights when I'm working away, reading and investigating and researching all these things so that we can give you these this great commentary on our in our videos. And of course, we've got lots of other kinds of shirts. We've got short sleeve t-shirts, we've got V-neck shirts, we've got our really great and smart and amazing polo shirts, all 100% cotton, all beautifully made, all with a Durand double-headed eagle on them. And you can find other things too. You can find hoodies, you can find hats, you can find stickers, you can find books, you can find amazing things.
20% off. Mention the 20% off, Alexander, for the holiday season. DRN20.
Well, there you go. 20% off. DRN20 is apparently, well, Alex will explain it, which you have to type in.
Put
in the description box. You can get all these amazing discounts. This is the time of year, of course, for a present. I'm told it's Thanksgiving in the United States. It's Christmas soon. So, you know, what are you waiting for? What's holding you back? These are marvelous presents, both for yourself and for your friends and family. Help the Durand, help yourself, own these great things. Buy these great things for other people. Come to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just put DRN20 in the checkout. As you check out, just put that code in the box, the coupon box. Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of the Durand, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.